Hello, 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 Christian. Welcome to the show, buddy. How are you?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Man, I'm very, very good. Thank you. Thank you for getting up super early, first of all.
No worries.
It's like 6 a.m. Whereabouts are you based?
Over on the East Coast, yeah.
Oh, gosh. So. I didn't even know. When I sent you the link to book in, I was thinking, he's going to say, there's no way I can do any of the times, because that's what most people say.
No. It's all good. Here's the other thing. It gets me up early, gets me moving, you know, and it actually, speaking of like content creation, you know, the great thing is it gets me up early so that I can start working without distractions. So
yeah, I can imagine as well. That's the thing. If you're up now, we'll speak, then you've got time to actually do some your own creative stuff as well. I find I'm more creative. Are you the same? I'm more creative in the morning, but by the time I get to the evening, I feel like I just can't be bothered anymore, which is really bad.
I think it's the distraction thing, actually, like not having as many like people wanting your attention. So yeah. Yeah,
it's a similar thing that people say with going to the gym. That's why you should go to the gym or go and work out or go for a run first thing in the morning. I know that now because as a father, it's like by the time I get to the end of the day, there's so many other things that need to be done that you're like, I'm never going to do it. So I get it, especially with the creative work. So Christian, I'm so excited to have you on the show. I have seen you. I think I've messaged you a few times and you said yes a few times, and I've never actually, I'm the world's worst at this. I have like these people. I'm like, I want you on the show. You're amazing. And then I send you a message and then I go, I forgot who I sent a message to. As in, I know who you are. And then you appear again. I'm like, oh, why have I not finished that? So I'm so glad we finally got you. I saw you on Walter Strong's show. And I was like, oh, I even wrote in the comments. I was being cheeky and just, I was like, I'm going to get you now on the show because I need to do that. So I've seen you everywhere. And I want to break down a little bit about who you are. I want to understand who you are because you're a bit of an anomaly for me because I've seen you everywhere. I know you're involved with people like with StreamYard. I know you've got your own stuff. I see you with all these some of the biggest creators in the world. You're always on their streams. You're always talking to them. And it was just a face. I was listening, funny enough, to your social chatter episode about personal branding you had recently. And I was like, well, you've nailed it because everywhere I look, you're there. But I have no idea on the scope of what you do because you do so much. So I'd love to know, well, who is Christian and what do you do properly? Like for you to put it in your words, what is it that you do? Because you're just a social media machine from my perspective.
Let's see. So, well, I guess I'd say I run a digital agency called Social Chefs. And then off of that, you know, I got into the whole live streaming thing like a number of years ago. Back when it was, it was Google Hangouts, and then Google went into a temporary product called Google Helpouts, where it was like, you could do something like this, or we could do like one-on-one coaching or whatever, you could teach somebody whatever it was and people would pay you for your time. Sounds just like a course, right? Or something like that, except you basically would have a product through Google. And then the live streaming thing started to take off. I just kind of went headfirst into that. And just kind of evolved with all of the different platforms as they were getting acquired. And then I landed it at, IBM at one point doing social media at IBM. And then I moved into, I got over StreamYard. So, yeah.
So streaming has always been a massive part of what you do then.
It has. Yeah. Yeah. It's been, I mean, at least I'd say video creation. Yeah. So, it's just been something where I think you know this, like once you get started with something, you just have to keep you just have to keep polishing it, you know, to get it to where you kind of want it to be.
And so I'm going to ask you a question there. Where do you want it to be? What's the idea of where you want it to be for you right now with streaming and video creation?
I think it's constantly a work in progress. So there's not ever it's ever like done. I think it's getting it to a point where you have a nice system going. Where it kind of starts to like, that's, I think the point would be to the point where it actually starting to like work for you without you having to put in so much effort into things.
Yeah. That's really interesting. It's really interesting because you do a lot of streams and I see, I've seen loads of different things and more I researched you, the more, to be honest, I don't have enough time that I was starting to read and I was like, oh my gosh, this is really good. And then this is really good. So I have to be careful not to see, you've got so much content. I could never, ever do any work again, I reckon, if I actually started to watch it all. But why, you fell into live stream. What is it about video content, live streaming content? What is it about that type of stuff that drew you to it? Because I know you say you're into it, you've done it, you're polishing your craft, which I love that idea, by the way. But what is it about that specific thing of video content versus all the other types of content out there, like written and graphics? What is it about video and live?
Here's the thing. I think it's actually a combination of all of that. I think everybody has a, like, I mean, you hear this, I think, all the time. A lot of people say, you know, play to your strengths. And for some people, that is, you know, for them, some people are like, hey, I don't want to be on camera. And then there's other people that are like, well, hey, you know, I want to be on camera. They prefer doing the whole camera thing versus the writing side of it, right? And so I think part of it is like figuring out where you're most comfortable at and then playing to that strength. Now, here's the thing. Like you also need to go with the wind, you know, like, yeah. For example, if writing is like the writing was the main thing and now it's moved into video and obviously, you know, podcasting and audio, like there's nothing to say you can't do all of those. And that's the thing. The challenge most people do is they take one idea and they make one piece of content for it. And then they don't think about, well, I can just repurpose that content. Like I can make that written piece of content, run it through, like, you know, create basically a process and then spit it out into other areas. And then that'll actually, in a way, if you think about it, it'll actually help you also figure out where you really should be putting your effort into, whether that is written content or, you know, an audio podcast or a video.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point because I think I'm dyslexic and I absolutely don't hate writing. There's actually, I love writing. I just can't do it very well. I can't spot the mm-hmm. grammatical errors and the spelling mistakes. Mm-hmm. So any type of video editing software like Camtasia that I'm currently using that has yeah. no auto-correct stuff is just terrible. But I actually would echo what you're saying because I remember when I first started creating content, I was saying to you off air that I created content in the finance space. I was trying mm-hmm. to make Instagram work. And mm-hmm. I just started posting stuff on LinkedIn mm-hmm. and then never really realized. And actually, I didn't realize that if I hadn't posted on LinkedIn because it was not a good place, but I was like, I'll repurpose.
Yeah.
That's where it gained traction. And mm-hmm. I never would have known if you didn't repurpose. And I think I see that mistake. I don't know if you see this a lot with the people that you interview and the people you speak to with everything on the social chatter and all of the stuff you do.
Yeah.
That people actually have maybe an amazing, I've bet people have an amazing idea, but they're trying to make it work on LinkedIn, but it could be great for TikTok. And they don't mm-hmm. really realize that they've got that shift. Do you see that happen a lot?
Yeah, I definitely do. I mean, I think part of it still comes back to strategy. You know, I think part of it is, you know, a lot of people don't start out with a strategy. And so then it's like you can go any direction you want. But it's like you don't start out with the strategy. Like you don't have the map. Like you don't have a blank piece of paper in front of you, really. You just kind of start going into what you think is the right place. And then sometimes, you know, and sometimes you land in the right spot. And then other times, you know, again, it's not the right thing. And you have to backtrack. And then you have to, you know, go the right direction at that point. But I think really it really shouldn't be that difficult. I mean, I think a lot of people, though, don't want to necessarily do it because of the fact that it does mean you have to build another audience. And as you know, building an audience from scratch is not easy.
It's very hard. I mean, and also, I don't know if you ever felt this, Christian, but for me, it's an ego play. I found it really difficult moving in. I wanted to build a YouTube channel.
Uh-huh.
And that's my new year's goal.
Okay.
And my gosh, the ego in getting in the way. I don't know if you ever felt where you're like, if you've built an audience somewhere else and they like you and they don't transfer most of the time, because if it's a different thing,
mm-hmm.
the ego that gets in the way, and I'm very open about this. I'm quite open about talking about the mistakes. I said this to you before off air and stuff, because I think you need to know what went wrong and what you didn't do, because that's what you did wrong is the stuff that tells you the most. But I remember multiple times looking at my YouTube channel going, oh, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. And it's because a little bit of success, I feel, I don't know if you agree with me on this or not, and it's fine either way, but a little bit of success can be a bad thing. Because it stops you from going over to those new platforms because you don't want to have egg on your face to look like you don't know what you're doing. And I've definitely felt that. Do you ever see that?
Yeah, that's a very good point, actually. So I do see that. I mean, I think that, again, it comes back to what you just said. And I think like you almost, it's like, you know, the exact, like we know the answer. And the answer is you need to fail at what you're doing to make sure that it's the right thing to do. And so like, you know, if you fail, for example, if you said, hey, you know what, I'm going to put this on this social platform, it's not gaining traction. You know, part of it is like being willing to say, hey, you know what, that didn't work. How do I make it work? you know, because if you're passionate about the topic that you're covering, like you're going to figure out how to make it work.
Yeah. So what's your work flow? Sorry, getting the tongue tied there. What's your kind of work process like for the fact that you, and in your content creation process, because you have, I was looking at your content just before doing some research and I've got it up on the screen here, but it's this idea of you have the Launch Your Live podcast.
Yeah.
Which just in December alone has pumped out like 7 episodes and we're currently on the 15th and they are long form episodes and they are all incredibly titled and very well SEO'd, but
hopefully they're good. Hopefully I'm hoping to get some traction, by the way, because you know how podcasts, you have to do a lot of promotion to get some traction.
Well, they're brilliant. So how are you making that? Plus you also have the Social Chatters one, which is the Social Chef.
Yeah. Yep.
How are you doing? What's your work for flow kind of process and creative process look like right now to be able to pump out that much level of content at also that quality? Because they have been, I mean, the one that produced very well, I've been listening to them, but also they are, as I said, they're like all the boxes I was going through going, wow, yeah, he's ticked that box, that box, that box, that. So how are you doing that?
Well, I mean, really for like the podcast, it's just me. So for the most part, I mean, I'll say this, my workflow is pretty straightforward. I work with a Google Doc. I literally have, you know, like an outline of all the episodes. And then I just basically go through and I, you know, it's almost like a paint by number thing. I go through and I fill out, okay, so I know like there's going to be a specific title. What's that title going to be? Like I put all the information there versus having it in multiple places. So that way I open the document. I open, for example, if I'm using StreamYard to do my recording, like if I were recording you, you know, I record you into a Rodecaster Pro and then I have my, you know, full on audio mix. I export the file. I run it through Audacity to do a little like cleanup, add on the intro, add on the outro. I run it through Auphonic. This is stuff that like does not take very long, by the way. And so I know exactly like, and then once that's done, I put it through my podcast host and it does all the, you know, help spreading that out. And for the most part, I mean, it's really just a matter of like, I mean, in a way, just keeping like a spreadsheet of like what the episode is, like what's the episode number, just doing a little bit of prep. For example, I recorded an episode last night and, you know, I quickly like I said, hey, you know what, this is the topic. Let me throw some information together with that. And then what are some past resources? Like I try to make sure I'm also like sort of building a train where it's, you know, if we're talking about like content creation, for example, what are some other like resources that might go well that I've already talked about on that episode as well. So that's pretty much my podcast process. It's very straightforward, very simple, actually.
I like that though, because that's something I actually have a process very similar. And that's what's interesting here. And I call it like a sausage machine, which is literally everything goes through and it follows. It's like beats in a script, follows the formulas. I know what it is. And I love one thing I don't have a spreadsheet. I'm going to nick that because I love that. This spreadsheet of the idea of you can go back and because being able to refer back to stuff you've done creates that session webbing, that idea of like, oh, I'm going to go back to episode 300 and whatever, because you've got 100 episodes there. So like so episode like 96, and then we go back to episode 5. And then we get like, I love that system. Do you find that system makes life so much easier because it's just paint by numbers, or you can just repeat?
I think on one hand, it's very helpful. I think on the other side though, you have to make sure that you add your personality to it, because if you are following a paint by number scene, what a lot of people will fall into is, you know, they're literally just reading from a script at that point. And so, you know, there's like, for example, I have maybe 2 to 3 sentences that I read related to a topic, but I do add my own spin to things at times. You know, in my closing, I don't just, you know, I don't do the same standard closing all the time. Sometimes most of the time I do, but I do try to add some little element to it to make it unique to that episode, to not seem like, hey, I'm reading from a script here.
Makes sense. Cause there's always that age old thing, I think, with video creators of should you script, should you not script? And I where do you sit on that? Cause I'm as in with normal video, because I mean, podcasts are hard to script. If you're going to do it, like I'm looking at your most recent episode, 1 hour and 37 minutes, a 1 hour and 37 minute script is like an essay. So there's no way you're doing that. But like a 5 minute video, I see people script that. And every time I script it, I just feel like I've lost my personality in it. I don't know if you have a similar experience, but that's what I feel.
So I think you need a script of, you need an outline. I will say that you need an outline. So for example, you know, I was actually, so at StreamYard, I was making, I churned out like 3 or 4 videos yesterday, and I was sort of in, like, part of it is you have to mentally prepare yourself for what you're going to be doing. And so like, I had to mentally prepare myself like, hey, this is what I want the videos to be like. And then I just made some quick notes, because I also know that I don't want to make, like, a 5-minute video could easily turn into a 15 to 20 minute video. And then you're like, well, there's too much here, and now I have to like chop. So what I make sure to do is I have an outline that I typically like to follow. You know, there's always like I record the intro, for example. So if I'm making a video, like a tutorial, I record the intro. I make sure that I add the value prop, or I answer a question, or I ask a question that people are going to have around that topic. I then show them how to do something, and then I have a nice little wrap up. And, you know, and I make sure, again, it's, you're kind of like learning here, it's a formula. And then you have to just craft it all. You have to just basically, you know, you got it. And then now it's like chop, 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 get it nice and, you know, get it nice and concise, and then put it out there and just look at your analytics and see what works, what doesn't work.
It's interesting, because I don't know if you know, Ed Lawrence from Film Booth. So Ed, he's, his channel is blowing up right now. I'd highly recommend you look at it, but he came on the show, and he went from like 12,000 subscribers to like 90 in like 6 weeks. It was insane. Yeah, it was insane. It was kind of unheard of, to be completely honest with you. Nick spoke a lot about him recently. But anyway, he came on the show and he was talking about this thing. And I have seen that you talked about with your like 20-minute video turn into. And it was a new thing I'd heard. He called it, I don't know what he called it, something like session webbing or something. So he does like really short videos. And he was like, if a video is one video, can that video be broken up into 3 or 4?
Right.
And then you send them at the end screen to the next one and the next one and the next one. And so that was really interesting. And I've actually started creating content for January like that, which is this idea of, and I actually, you talk about the CTA, I script a video and have a CTA at the end.
Yes.
The CTA will be whatever the next video is. So it might be like, I was doing one about epidemic sound. I was doing one about, should you use background music in podcasting? Then it was like, what is the natural thing? And he said this, said, do what is the next natural step you think that video should be? And I was like, so now you know that you want to have music, then check out this video on the types of music you can get. And then that one, then we're led into sound effects, and the sound effects will lead into an Audacity tutorial. And I was like, oh, and I think that's like we say about stream. I mean, StreamYard, I've got a whole playlist on StreamYard, a whole tutorial, because that is just a never ending thing. Of 1 minute, 2 minute, 3 minute videos on how to do stuff. So I like that approach that you say, because I think, I don't know if you feel this, but sometimes I find that I watch creators who massively overindulge on a 30 minute video that could be done in 2.
Some of them, yes. Like, and sometimes it's because I want to learn some of the, you know, hidden tips and tricks that they, that may not be visible, I think, on the surface in a video. But I will say, going back to your point about, you know, you make a video and there's a, and it's not just a CTA, like it's a relevant CTA. Like, that makes a lot of sense. And here's the other thing. Also, you know, go back to like, look at your analytics, look at what's working, what's not working. And then what you want to do is, if you, for example, if you have an older video that's still performing and still doing really well, it may fit in a video that you make as that CTA. And that CTA should go into, obviously, like if it's a YouTube channel, go into the description. It should go into the, you know, the card as well that you have. If you've got the end screen as well, you should all, obviously you should have all these. Again, put it in there, like make sure it's related. Don't just like send them to like 3 or 4 different places.
I love that as well though, because that's the type of thing I haven't done that with podcasting. And that's what you said about that sheet. I love that idea of being able to still at the end of your YouTube, you know, especially if you're doing it, like if you're like say stream using StreamYard to put your podcast onto YouTube, you can still end card that at the end of the next episode. You say, if you really enjoyed this episode, you really want to check out episode 200 and whatever, because that's where I went through this. And then I love that because you can then also put that. I haven't thought, my head's going around with ideas from what you've just said. That's why. And then you can put that in the show notes of the first link. So say this is the link to the one. So I think that's really interesting, because podcasters, I don't know many podcasters who actually do that. I mean, there's people like Pat Flynn who absolutely crush it, but there's not many that actually use CTAs. All the CTAs that I normally hear when I work with podcasters is subscribe to the show. And I'm like,
which
well,
no one already... ever does. Like,
oh, they already are because they're listening to you. Or, right. Or yeah, or they don't. Like, it's ridiculous.
Or yeah, and well, so here's the other thing I do actually. So, you know, to get people back to those episodes, what I do is I have like I basically create a short URL for every episode. So, for example, it's launcher.live/EP. Let's see what's available. Let's see, launcher.live/EP. Let's try 98. Okay. Launcher.live/EP98. For example, every episode is set up like that.
Oh, wow.
So that, you know, so that basically, and the cool thing is then I can look at the analytics and say, okay, well, what's working, what's not working, which one's driving a lot of clicks. You know, I can see all of that versus, oh, I need to go like I know that. For example, right now that's set up to go to, you know, it might go to like the podcast episode, for example, you know, so that people can then go binge on that next episode or, you know, depending on like how much content you want to create for your business, whatever you're doing, you could have it go to a blog post that has podcast episode embedded. It could have the show notes. It would have, you know, maybe the video episode of it as well. So like, if you think about it, the blog post is essentially just taking all of those different pieces we talked about, the podcast that you've created, the video recording that you made, and the written notes, or in this case, you know, something that is optimized for search, like doing all of that, like kind of thinking about like, hey, I'm going to take this one idea and I'm going to turn it into three pieces of content, three very useful pieces of content. So that going back to what we talked about at the beginning, people who want to listen can listen to the podcast, people who want to watch and they, you know, they can watch, and people who want to read, they can read. And they're getting the same information.
I love that. It's such a great idea because that's you don't see many people execute on that very well, I think, especially in the podcast space. That'd be interesting to hear your take on the podcast space because that's my world. And yeah, sure. It is. What's your thoughts on the podcasting space as regards to, I'm trying to think how to say this in a nice way without being, we're going to slam it on podcasts and everyone being rude to me. I find that podcasts are very far behind. That's what I'm trying to say. Like in regards to everything else is that their best practices, the more and more podcasters I meet, the more and more they're like, they don't do SEO. They don't, you know, optimize their stuff. They don't do exactly what you've just said about uploading to the things. I find that podcasting, we're chatting about podcast discoverability in the bit before off air.
Yeah.
Discoverability is bad, but I think it's a lot better than people think. If they actually did the basic practices. Do you find that as someone who's in both worlds and mixes with also big creators on the platforms and knows everybody, is that like a, do you think that most podcasters that you've seen are just not, I'm not saying, are you not putting the words in your mouth of lazy, but they're not doing the best with what they've got?
I think it comes down to probably the not doing the best with what they've got. And that's because, again, everybody plays to their strengths. So for example, you have people that, you know, they record a podcast and like, they may not think, hey, you know what? I want to set up a website for this, or they may already have a website, but then it's like, well, it kind of just slips their mind. They're like, you know what? They're focusing on the audio aspect. I will say the discoverability part is hard. Yeah. You know, if like you may get lucky and you may have a few episodes that really hit, you know, you may have some that just like that totally just don't do so well. You know, and the only way, like, I feel like part of it is like a, what's the word looking for? I think like, you know, when you write a piece of content or you make a video, for example, I think you feel like, okay, YouTube or Google, for example, if those are where people are, you know, viewing this, they're going to help me with some of that discoverability. For a podcast, it's more up to me to do that. And so, you know, you do have to put that effort into it. Like, I mean, I wouldn't approach podcasting and video creation and content and written content. I wouldn't really approach it that much differently. Like, you're still optimizing for keywords. Like, what are people searching for? And then you're bringing your personality into that content that, you know, people are consuming. So for example, if they're consuming the audio, like I said, like you've got a script, just like you know, for optimization, you've got a script. And, you know, you bring your personality to that podcast, make sure you know the information. Same thing for written content, same thing for the video. Like, people watch because, you know, they want to make sure that it helps them with the solution. And I think also the other approach I would take with a lot of this is, you know, in a way, like, okay, so you set up like your vehicles, you set up a podcast or a video or a piece of written content. And what a lot of people, you know, do is they might just say, well, hey, I'm going to make this an audio podcast. But the thing is, that particular topic may work well as both or all three. And so you kind of have to pick, like, you know, like, it's like you turn on a feature. It's like, okay, so I want this, this, and this. In some cases, okay, I only want these two because of the medium with which I'm talking about. For example, if I'm talking about, like I'll give you an example. The episode I recorded yesterday was about like scheduling tools, like ways that you can schedule guests for live streams and beyond, right?
Yeah.
And obviously, I mean, I'm going to talk about some software. Like, I'm not going to, though, give you like a full demo. Like, in this case, I'm not going to necessarily give you a full demo of the software because they're all virtually the same, right?
Yeah.
But I have to just paint that picture. And so that type of episode might work better as an audio podcast and a piece of written content. Maybe the video, not as much. But, you know, if I'm going to be talking about like a high level, like, you know, high level topic where there doesn't need to be a visual with it, then I could just make it an audio podcast.
Yeah.
So again, but it's also experimenting with it, making, you know, seeing what's going to work, what's not going to work.
It's an interesting point because that's something that's been battling and plaguing my mind. I just like talking about this type of stuff with other creators. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because something that's plagued my mind has been this idea of when you're audio first, as you said just then, there are certain things that are audio first. And I'm using StreamYard as an example because you guys sent out a features update. And I was like, oh, great. I'm going to make a load of videos on all the new features that have been added there because I podcast through it. So it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's when I realized, I was like, I can't do a podcast on this because you need to show. There are certain things that require visual elements. And I see this the more and more is that, like, there, as you just said, the features, there are certain things that, like, audio, if I'm going to tell a story, audio only is so much better because the reality is people can hold their attention. They're walking their dog. They're not going to skip. You do that on a video, it's just not going to do a 35-minute, 36-minute video of me just talking is just going to fail on YouTube. But a a 2-minute video showing the new picture-in-a-picture function is all that's needed. And 1.5 minutes, also with a CTA linking them to the hotkeys function.
Right.
Those type of things, that's way too short for a podcast. And this is what I find, it's way too short for a podcast, so it wouldn't work, and it's visually driven. And this is something that's been a battle in my head. I don't know if you ever have this experience as someone who does a lot of content. And obviously, I love your way of repurposing. We come from a very similar background in that mindset. It gets really hard for me because I'm like, the investment of this piece of content doesn't have as repurposability in the way I'd like it. You know, I'm like, oh, this one video is purely a tutorial.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't have any repurposable value.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm like, oh, I can't do it. And my whole brain shuts down. It's ridiculous. Like, but it's just that I'm like, but I can't then turn it into a blog and a this and a that. But I think sometimes, do you ever have that experience where you're like that one thing can't be reused, but I've got to talk about it? Like,
I do think about that. And I think about it because I think about it from a time standpoint. Like, okay, is it worth putting the time? Because that 2-minute video is not a 2-minute video. It's going to be, you know, it might be an hour because you got it. Like I said, you got to get yourself up to the point where, okay, what's it going to be about? How are you going to structure it? And then maybe you get to the end and you're like, hey, you know what? This just doesn't work. But I will say this, if you happen to be making like shorter videos, you could roll all that into one longer piece of content. And so it could be, you put all the little short pieces of content out there and then you could do a longer, you know, it could just be like a series you make, you know, once a month, for example, or, you know, once a quarter. You could even stretch it out that far. Hey, these are, you know, new features that were rolled out. You know, it could be 8 new features, for example, and then you have all your videos there and you could talk about them. You could then tell them, hey, you know what, if you want to go check this out, like you could have a YouTube playlist with all those videos in it, or you could have that longer piece of content, that written content that has, you know, all 8 features with, like, you know, a quick little description of them, a video, for example. And then that way it's helping people get the information and they know, like, okay, they can watch 8 short videos, but they're able to consume like in 30 minutes, really good, you know, a really good synopsis of those features.
That's really cool. My head's spinning. I'm going to take so many ideas from this, Christian. Like, I'm not feeling well when I'm recording this. And I've got like a web document. I'm going, make a document to track this to that. Like, it's brilliant.
So I got to say, one thing I actually use a lot of, I use these, this is a Rocketbook.
Yeah.
And I've been using these for like years since they launched. And basically it's an erasable notebook. Mm-hmm. But it's really cool. So it's not just like, hey, I'm taking notes, but I could also digitize them with this. So it does like character recognition.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then what's cool about it is I literally write on it with like, this is no plug for Rocketbook, by the way.
No, keep going. Plug it.
So this is Rocketbook. They make small versions, large versions. What I basically do is I keep this next to my desk and it uses a regular pen, for example, here.
Yeah.
It uses a regular pen. And then I basically can write in this and then I can just erase it. And I erase it with a microfiber cloth, which is pretty crazy.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And then the cool thing is, when you're finished taking your notes or making, you know, for example, I use it for scripting out something. I then can open up their app. It will scan the page and it will give me an OCR or character. It recognizes the characters so you can search them.
Oh my gosh.
So you can use that for, you know, scripting out your show or things like that. So
that's going on my list now of things to buy as soon as we've finished.
Yeah, there's so many of them. And I think you can go to, I think go to launchyour.live/go/rocketbook. Yeah. And that'll actually get you to their, a bunch of their products they have. They've got some cool stuff, by the way. They even have a whiteboard feature as well, where you can, they sell these little beacons and you can put them in the corner and it'll let you like, you could actually capture like you and I could be like working through a workflow and you could, it would basically, instead of me just streaming it and kind of give you bad quality of it, it would actually capture me drawing out whatever's within those little beacons.
Oh my God.
And then the quality.
I'm gonna have to look at this.
Yeah. So
this will also be a much cheaper way because I've been looking at this for something to make notes myself because I like to write. I don't like to type. I like to write.
Yeah.
But I needed then a place, as you say, to store it and actually save it because otherwise I have tons of notebooks that just, I don't know what I'm doing afterwards. Yep. So I was looking at the iPad mini because I was like, oh, I can do that. But then I was like, that's quite a lot more money. And then imagine a Rocketbook is a lot
it's
less.
Good product. Yeah.
Yeah. Looks good. So, I want to touch on a couple of things with this.
Yeah, sure.
Just kind of, we keep talking about mistakes. We keep speaking about, I know I've said to you a few mistakes I make tons.
Yep, sure.
What's been some of the mistakes, if you don't mind sharing them, what have been some of the mistakes that you've done over the years as a creator, as a social media expert and, you know, manager that have been real learning things that you've gone, I can't believe I did that, but I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that specific thing.
Let's see. So a couple things. I think one would be not being afraid to like try different things. Cause like I said, it's a formula you create for like making content, like systems. But at times, like a lot of us, like we get into those systems and we don't like change the system. And so, you know, I think part of it's like, instead, like we could easily just turn a blind eye, or a lot of people do, to the analytics of things. So I think part of it is looking at the data and saying, okay, like, you know, why is the data down? Like, don't look at it every single day, but at least check it every single month, like what's working, what's not working. And then I think the key thing is being willing to adjust, you know, being willing to adjust what you're doing to change the outcome on things. I think that's like probably mistake number one. I think the other thing would be, you know, failing more often at things. A lot of us, like when things don't go well, a lot of us look at things and say, we start thinking negatively about something, like, oh, I'm not a success at this. But it's like, well, you're not a success at it, but you actually are like on the right path. You know, you just like, okay, that just wasn't like, that wasn't the right area, but hey, you're in the right area. Like you're on the right path to go where you want to go. But hey, that tactic, that thing you tried didn't work, or maybe it didn't work now, but it does work later on, for example. And I think the other thing would be like, for example, you and I briefly talked about this earlier, we talked about YouTube. Yeah. So, you know, I've got a couple of YouTube channels. You know, I started off with a personal one. I moved that into my digital agency. And then I started one for the Launch Your Live show. And, you know, after having done that, I was getting traction on some of them, but not everything. You know, I'd already built up an audience on one channel, had a smaller audience on a second, and the third one wasn't getting as much traction. And then I said, well, you know what? Do I want to actually consolidate that into one channel? And the answer was like, yeah, I do actually, I think I am going to do that. So that it comes from me. Cause again, like in a way, like having another, like if it's like, it's a lot to keep up with. And so you just have to work smarter at things. And so if it naturally fits with who you are, for example, I like technology, I like gadgets, if you couldn't tell, you know, I like, you know, live streaming, for example, social media. So that's a lot of my videos are going to be about that. And so if I'm on my own personal channel, like people are going to understand that's who I am. And so it would make sense to have that come from that channel versus having another channel. I think the, you know, touching on like things I think I'd do differently. And I made that adjustment along the way. Instead of me like running three separate channels, I made it, okay, let's just keep two. Let's get the momentum going behind those, because you already have the audience and the analytics are going to also tell you if it's going to work or not.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point, especially the channels, because I think a lot, I see this a lot where a lot of creators at the beginning, especially with YouTube, as in that they might be creators on other platforms. YouTube has this, it's like this unicorn that everyone just goes like, oh my God, it's so different. It's not, it's the same thing as everything else. But if you, but they approach it differently for some reason. Everyone always approaches YouTube. Yeah, the lure of AdSense makes everybody freak out. And the reality is it doesn't pay very much. So it's one of these weird things. But I remember talking about the multiple channels. I had multiple channels and I had Nick Nimmin on the show. I know you know Nick. And he came on the show and off air. So he didn't say it on air, so you guys won't know this, but off air, he said, you've got multiple channels. Why do you have that? And I said, oh, well, I've got this idea. And I got, and he was like, it's a massive mistake. And I was like, really? And he was like, yeah. And he said, and exactly what you said, he said, you've got to put, he said, you haven't got one that's doing well yet. You need to put all your effort into one that does well. And what he did say, though, he said as well, which I thought, he said, if you do this long enough, as you said about fanning, he said, you do it long enough, it will be successful. He said, because this type of content, this thing is a long game. It will, you just got to keep banging it and it will happen. Yeah. He said, and then he said, right now, and then, and I've met other creators who've said this afterwards. He said, right now, you have all the time to be able to deal with the comments because you don't think it's going to be a big deal. He said, but when you've got 400 comments a day coming in on one channel and you've got four or five channels, he said, it becomes unmanageable. And he was and you have to really think from down, like from day one. And I hadn't thought about that. And then I had another friend of mine who's a YouTuber over here, and he was like, the biggest mistake I made was not building my channel. He's about 14,000 now, but it's in a very micro niche. Mm-hmm. So it does very well. And he was like, I thought that no one would take me seriously. So I had an open diary link. And he was like, biggest mistake I've ever made. And it's a similar thing, is that I think sometimes with YouTube, people think it's never going to happen, so I'll do more. And then actually when it does happen, it comes back and bites you on the ass.
I mean, the hardest part at that point is, you know, you have like, I mean, you should have different channels if you're like trying to figure out like what niche you want to be in.
Yeah.
You know, because again, like if you're making you have to kind of look at it like this. If you're going to make a channel in English, for example, and you're like, hey, I want to make a Spanish version of this, you know, as well. Like, should you have one channel or should you have multiple channels? Because you have to remember you're going to get a mix of audiences, and then, you know, the translation's there, but it may work better having separate channels. But again, it comes down to who the audience is, you know, that you're trying to reach. But I think the hardest part, though, is once you do that, then you can't neglect those people, because when you do, then they're just going to go away and you're never going to get them back. And that's not an algorithm. I mean, it's sort of an algorithm play, but like at the same time, it's the fact that, you know, I mean, you got to keep them happy. It's like somebody opening a business, right? And you say, okay, you know what? I'm going to open this like one restaurant, right? And then all of a sudden you decide, you know what? Hey, I'm going to open another one on another side of town. It takes your time, right? And there's only so much of you that can be spread, you know, out. And then you're like, okay, well, I'm going to open another state, for example. Then that's, you have to put the pieces, if you're going to do that, you have to put the pieces in place to help you with that. So for example, if you open up, you know, two restaurants, you're not going to be the manager of both restaurants, right? You're going to have someone who can help run restaurant A while you're running restaurant B and so forth. So the same thing for YouTube. I mean, if you're going to open up multiple channels and you're going to, you know, and once you get that volume, like you got to make sure you have the support to help.
Absolutely. No, it's a very interesting point. I know that that's the only thing I have done as well, is, and I've seen it with yours, is this idea of having a separate podcast channel. That's something I'm seeing more and more people do, is if they have a podcast, they don't integrate it into their, because I was, but they're not integrating it in as much. Now, it depends if your niche is that thing, as you said, but like that was something that I've noticed more and more people, if they've got a very micro niched podcast. For example, this show is hosted on a different YouTube channel. And it is, because my channel is all about podcasting. So me and you we're talking about podcasting, but we're also talking about other things. And then the audience is not 100% relevant. And I remember that. So I made the decision with that to go, okay, if they want to cross over, they can. The playlist can be on the channel, but I'm not 100% sure that it should be suggested to every person that signs up to a podcast channel to learn how to do a show. And I think that's something people have to think about.
Definitely.
So, Christian, if people want to connect with you, they want to learn more about you, where's the best place for them to go?
Ooh, that's good questions, actually. So I'd say if it's all about live streaming, they can check me out at Launch Your Live. If it's about the digital marketing aspect, at Social Chefs. And then if it's just they want to connect with me just in general, I mean, I'm pretty sure I'm the only Christian Garasevich on LinkedIn. I haven't actually checked this, but I'd say just look me up there and you'll find all of my like social channels to connect with. So
absolutely, mate. It's been an absolute pleasure. Do you have any parting words, any final like advice you'd want to give to any content creator out there who's listening to this? What do you want to take away from the show?
I think the key thing is and I give the analogy of like squeezing like juice, right? Squeeze as much juice, like each orange is a piece of content and you want to squeeze as much value out of that as you possibly can before you discard it. And I don't say discard, before you move on to the next piece. Because what a lot of people do is, you know, hey, they make the one piece of content and they don't squeeze anything at all, or they get a couple of drops out. But really when you set up the right systems, you can get, you know, for example, you get a juicer, you get the maximum amount out. In this case, the juicer being like the system on your side, like what do you use to, you know, to make your content? So the sausage grinder, as you talked about.
Absolutely love it. I love that analogy because I actually, it's funny because you say the same things. It's really scary actually, because I say like, it's like imagining dipping a towel into some water. And if you wring it, you can't, you shouldn't put that towel to dry until you've wringed every last bit of water out of it. And I love that idea of juice. It's exactly the same thing. I think people don't see that. So I love it completely. I'll ask you quickly.
Go ahead.
Say, before we go, are you a Gary Vee fan at all or not? The reason why I ask that question is because it sounds a very Gary Vee approach, but some people are either anti or not. It doesn't matter either way. But just because you said that about maximizing, the whole thing is about doing more content.
I think it's just really, I mean, I just know that like, I think you learn your systems. Okay. Like you learn what works, what doesn't work for you. But I think what a lot of people do is they don't like, I mean, I think it makes sense to put out, like you shouldn't put out like tons of content, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you need to put out content with purpose. Like, cause you also have to remember people need time to catch up.
Yes. Yes. I agree.
So, I have taken in some of that advice. I mean, a number of years ago. So
same thing. I think it's interesting. It's a similar thing just because the concept that you're in there sounds very similar, but like I took what I learned from Gary many years ago and then built upon it in a systems and process way, as opposed to just throwing whatever you can at the wall. But it was just really interesting because people are sometimes misunderstand that concept.
Yeah. Well, you have to give them the concept. You have to give them the right, you know, you have to give them the right example that they can relate to, I think.
Absolutely. All right. I'm going to run this outro, but thank you so much for coming on the show, Christian. Awesome.